I have trust that Weaver's going to find it. There's something off with him. Johnny Loaisiga has been a real issue for this team.
Luke Weaver rushed himself back.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and so I think he'll be fine after he gets what, unfortunately, are his rehab starts.
Exactly, which is what this is going on. Right. And I think actually shutting him down again, All-Star break, is going to help as well.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a bullpen with a lot of holes right now for the Yankees. And a very important week. Not that they're playing division games, but playing good teams. And you're trying to find ways to get out of this. I mean, tonight, Will Warren's on the mound. Who has any confidence Will Warren's giving you any more than five innings tonight? And how are they getting these outs? In a game, by the way, where think about the Mariners' ERA and what they just did versus Pittsburgh. I don't expect the Yankees to score a ton of runs these next couple days the way they're going as well.
Well, the thing you worry about is if they struggle against the Mariners, then they back this one up with the Cubs, who are playing as good a baseball as anybody in the National League right now. And so you risk coming off a horrific two series with the Blue Jays and the Mets, going into two more horrific series, and then you go into a break.
Yeah.
Now maybe that break then becomes more needed, and hopefully you come back rejuvenated, but you also could come back seven games out of first place in the division.
You could. The freaking Blue Jays don't lose. They won again last night.
I know it. Nine in a row.
They don't stop. Now, the good news is I don't think the Blue Jays are going to go on some kind of Billy Bean A's-like win streak. So you would think that you're going to get – the Blue Jays are going to have to start losing games eventually. I mean, they're not that great. Let's be honest. They're not the 98 Yankees.
Right.
So,
unless they are.
But nonetheless, we talk about what the Yankees need at third base is, even when you address that, you're going to need two bullpen arms. You can't just sit and hope that with the way relievers are so up and down that Johnny Loaisiga is going to be this great pitcher. And you saw him pitch and they went to the well too much versus the Mets. I think Scott Efros now with lighter out is going to earn some more high leverage spots too. But the one calling card you could at least count on with Brian Cashman's Yankees, for all his flaws in building a roster, is that he finds these bullpen arms and he figure it out. This really feels like the first bullpen crisis the Yankees have had.
This year, yeah.
Yeah, well, forget this year, in a couple years, where you just don't have trust at all.
Right, yeah, even last year when Clay Holmes got moved off the closer role.
You had somewhere to go.
Well, he was actually pretty good, effective as in non-leverage situations like that.
Right, and they had
hit ground balls, get outs, get out of innings. He was good at it. Now you're starting to run into questions. Tim Hill, obviously, he's still relatively good, but you need Luke Weaver to turn back into Luke Weaver from a year ago, and Devin Williams has got to pitch like he did in his save opportunity on Sunday. So if they don't, then they're going to be in trouble because their bullpen's getting tasked almost every night with getting at least 12 outs.
Yeah, and
that's tough.
Fernando Cruz was a really big loss at the time, but remember, we were at a point in time in the playoffs that Mark Leiter didn't originally make the postseason roster, and then because of injuries, he ended up there. Think about that. He wasn't trusted upon as much after the deadline to make that postseason roster at first. And now this is a relatively big blow to the Yankee pen, which shows you how far the pieces and dominoes have fallen. So while you get the good news that the Yankees have come to their senses, even though it's probably because of the All-Star game that Jazz has to go to second, you get the bad news here with Mark Leiter Jr. ending up on the injured list. Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. Gabe, what's up? You're on the show.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. Brutal. Brutal. Another one bites the dust, right?
Yeah.
Look, I just want to say better late than never, okay, in terms of, like, you know, what Boone did with moving Jazz to his correct position. I do want to say, however, that Brian Cashman's favorite movie must be Moneyball, because the amount of times that they put guys out of position over the last 3 years is absolute insanity. It's like, they're like, oh, I've never played third base before. It's not that hard. It's incredibly hard. You know, like, they don't seem to care, right? But there's kind of like a silver lining to all this, right? This really forces their hand at the deadline, not just in the third base side, but also in the bullpen, as you mentioned. Like, they don't have any other options but to go out there and make the splashes that Sean is talking about. Now, I don't think that J-Ram is realistic. I don't think that, you know, Bregman's a realistic option, and Suarez is going to be wanted by too many people.
Yep.
But getting the guys like the Hayes, the McMahons that are solid defenders but a little bit weaker with the bat, you know, make them the worst hitter on the team. But then, you know, everybody else still is good enough. I mean, look, the Yankees have scored 6 runs per game the last, like, 8, even with the lineup that they have.
Well, if you're not going to get a big bat, because that's what you really, really want, and what you would love to have in the Yankees lineup is a big bat at third base.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to get that, you might as well keep running Oswald Peraza out there.
Yeah.
He's a good defender. You just might as well. hope that at some point he becomes a major league hitter.
You need the bat.
Not right now.
You need the bat.
And exactly. So that's my point. Like if you're not going to go get the bat because whatever reason they're not available, and I agree with you, Suarez is not going to be available. Some of these Bregman's certainly not happening. These other things, they're not happening.
The only thing you bring up, there's one thing if Suarez isn't available and Arizona decides they're not going to sell. If Arizona is going to sell off a piece like that, what Gabe's excuse was is they're going to be too many people after him. I don't think that's a good enough excuse for the Yankees. Then you need to jump to the top of the line and be that team.
But how? So how is the question.
All right, here's what I would say.
So what are you willing to give up? Are you giving up one of your best prospects in order to get him?
Now we're talking about one of
what
the...
What is his contract? I'll look.
But what I will say is Suarez, as far as OPS, one of the premier home run hitters over the last couple of years in Major League Baseball. Right. So that is a guy you can slide behind Aaron Judge and give him that protection, plays that position of need. What? How many times are you going to do? Like last year, look what the Dodgers did the deadline where they get an Edmund, they get Flaherty. Those are the pieces that put them over the top. The Yankees sitting back and allowing other teams that are trying to vie for the same goal. If you're trading for Suarez, you're trading because you think you're a World Series contender. And beat them to the punch when you just won the AL last year and you're playing Judge's prime is not acceptable to me.
And he's free agent after the year.
And I'd look to sign him, too. I would.
He's going to be 34 next year.
Okay,
so
but
it's just you just don't want to create the problem that you're running into this year, which is guys aging out of being good.
Well, you know, he's not going to get a 7-year deal if you sign him to a 3-year deal, something like that. Look, all I'm saying is I've seen enough of Yankee prospects be not very good, like to put it kindly. Mm-hmm. I mean, Peraza was a big prospect at one point. We've seen Volpe. We've seen guys be excluded from putting this team over the top in past years and trades that come here, and either they don't properly develop them or they've been disappointing. And that doesn't mean abandon everybody because I love what Dominguez has shown. I don't want to abandon him. Yeah. And obviously, Judge was a prospect at one point. But how many years are you going to let go by and just accept that other teams have given up more in trades and gone for it more than you? At some point, you got to just put your chips down in the middle. Do you believe in the team or not?
Well, that's the question. And the question that Brian Cashman has to answer is this the team that's going to finally win us a championship, or am I punting for another year? Meaning punting is I'm not doing much.
Right.
We're good enough to get at least there. And I think that's what they've been going with.
And it feels like wash, rinse, and repeat the same year. That's what's frustrating.
But it's also a level of success that most teams would I don't know. They would pine for.
You're right, but I'm tired of that level.
this is why people outside of New York say the Yankee fan is stupid and spoiled.
Because
you're constantly in the postseason. You make runs every now and then. I haven't been to the ALCS or I hadn't been to the World Series in a while. But you got there last year. You're always in the postseason. Very rarely is it disappointing, knocked out in the wild card or the divisional round. And so that's not good enough, though. And
no.
So there's a weird kind of like a lack of acceptance of being just good.
Yes, and here's why. Are Yankee fans spoiled to the rest of America? I'm sure they are, and I'm sure I come
across
that way.
There's no doubt they are.
No doubt. And I'm sure you talk to Pirate fans, you could barely draw how many people would kill for the Yankees. No doubt. But here's the difference to me. Because baseball is unlike the NFL, the NBA, and the NHL in terms of salary caps, realistic salary floors where everybody's spending in the same regime.
Yes.
The Yankees automatically have a jump because they're the Yankees in building a roster that some of those other franchises can't, which leads to the success. The Yankees, when they can pay Aaron Judge to stay and don't lose him like the Pirates will lose Paul Skeens and can afford to sign a big ace like Freed when they have Garrett Cole, they will be able to outspend enough where they should be a 90-win team and in the playoffs every year. And that is where you get the wash, rinse, and repeat. But because you have a spending advantage in everybody else, that allows you to have those steady seasons. But does that allow you or does that make you smart enough to build complete World Series champions? That's what's lacked. And this is where I'll give the Met fan their blood for a second. The 1 year in the Aaron Judge era, they made the World Series was because they took two of the top five players in baseball and put them in the lineup at the same time in Juan Soto.
Exactly.
And they caught lightning in a bottle with Giancarlo Stanton and they took off.
And you had a guy, and you had a basically a Cy Young level pitcher.
Yep. That is how the Yankees do things. But it doesn't mean because they win 90 games, like, oh, we're spoiled. It's because they're not properly built. Mm. And they run and hide because they could spend more than anybody else to do enough to keep yourself competitive. And then when times come at the deadline, because you've spent so much money to be competitive and you need the real finishing piece to make you a complete baseball team, you allow other teams to jump in front of you and make the deal? Like, should the Toronto Blue Jays be making a bigger deal than the New York Yankees at the deadline this year? No.
No, of course not.
Should the New York Mets, with all the respect, be making a bigger deal?
Do you think they will? That's the question.
They might.
And they might.
They might.
That's the, well, we know this because the Mets were willing and they spent money this offseason on Juan Soto. We know that the Blue Jays were, even though they spent less money to re-sign Vlad, they spent the money, right? And so
right.
We know that they wanted to give away money. They just couldn't, at least not at the level they wanted to. So at this point, if you are the Blue Jays sitting atop the division at the trade deadline, why not?
Right.
Like, what the hell do you have to lose? Then go for it. The Mets, who have been trying to become World Series relevant ever since Steve Cohen, you know, took ownership of this team, why not? I don't think you can say that for the Yankees. There isn't that, well, why not? That makes sense from a Hal standpoint. And so while you can scream and yell all you want, the Yankees should, the Yankees should, the Yankees should. I don't know if the Yankees are incentivized as some of these other teams to do what needs to be done in order to put a winner at the trade deadline.
That's disheartening.
It's a reality, though.
Oh, joy. It's breaking glass.
Okay, so this is from Brian Hulk on Twitter. Mark Leiter Jr. said he sustained the stress fracture in his left leg covering first base in the extra inning game at Cincinnati.
Excuse me?
When was that? He has not been given a timetable
extra
for
extra inning game in Cincinnati.
That is a week and a half ago.
We're on to Cincinnati.
They went through that four-game series versus Toronto and then pitched him versus the Mets with a stress fracture in his leg?
Again, this is according to Brian Hulk on Twitter. Mark Leiter Jr. said he sustained the stress fracture in his left leg covering first base in the extra inning game at Cincinnati.
That was the extra inning game was June 24th. June 24th.
When does the incompetence end? Jazz Chisholm Jr. told us that for weeks he's been dealing with a jacked up shoulder that was hurting his throwing arm. And the Yankees kept running him out at third base despite the fact that he's a second baseman, knowing he was injured. And now this Yankee team with a beat up pen had a pitcher with a stress fracture in his leg that nobody seemed to notice for a week and a half?
2 weeks.
For 2 weeks?
Because it's the seventh now, right?
That kept
the eighth.
Yeah. For 2 weeks, including an important four-game series versus Toronto. And I'd have to go back and look at his numbers and what he did there. And he came out pitched versus the Mets. But the numbers are almost irrelevant.
And don't forget also, June 4th is when Clark Schmidt first complained of forearm tightness.
Correct. Great point, Rosie.
And a month later, and who knows if that was a factor or not, but he had it after the June 4th start against Cleveland.
Am I going nuts, or is this extreme incompetence from the medical staff and whatever the chain reaction is?
There's questions that need to be asked. That's for damn sure.
Forearm injury that led to Tommy John, where Clark Schmidt kept going out and pitching. And forget no-hitter comments here.
Yes.
Jazz Chisholm Jr. jacked up shoulder that we know the team was aware of, and we know that they kept playing him at third base despite that when the shorter throws are from second base. And you let one of the most important relievers go out there and keep trying to get outs with a stress fracture in your leg for 2 weeks? But we're nuts.
Right. So
the fans are nuts.
So he pitched the following week. So 6 days later, talking about Leiter.
Mark Leiter.
Mark Leiter.
We might need to sign out.
I know, right? He pitched a third of an inning, gave up 3 hits and 3 runs. Next outing against Toronto, pitched a third of an inning, gave up a hit and 2 runs. The next outing, also against Toronto, pitched an inning, no runs, and then obviously against the Mets.
So multiple outings with runs allowed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees didn't know, which is a problem in itself, or they did know, but then maybe not to the fact that it was a stress fracture that he was dealing with something and kept running him out there, while knowing again about the Jazz shoulder thing and now waiting until after he gets elected to an All-Star game to realize, oh yeah, it would stop making him make these throws. And Clark Schmidt now undergoing Tommy John when they knew he had forearm injuries and whatnot for the past month. Mm. That is three examples of this current organization that likes to thumb their nose at the fan base that screams and yells and tells them what they see wrong, that they know better than everybody. That is malpractice. And I love the New York Yankees. This is horrendous. Whoever is in charge or wherever the line of communication is, something needs to be fixed. That's unbelievable.
It really is. When you think about it, especially given that it happened 2 weeks ago, that there's either not communication with the players and their and the organization, or the players are lying about how they actually feel. But in a sport as delicate as baseball is, I don't mean that these guys aren't athletes, but a little injury, it will derail you. It will derail your season. It could derail your career if it's not treated properly. Why in the hell do you not know?
You keep letting Mark Leiter Jr. go out there and plant on a stress head fracture there?
Yeah.
I can't believe this.
Four more outings. Two and a third innings. His ERA was 15 in those four games.
I know a lot of people who aren't Yankee fans look at Yankee fans who complain. You know, we were just talking about this, about being spoiled or everything. Yankee fans are smart, and they know their team, and they're watching them. Not that we identified any of these injuries or anything. That is why we don't trust the Yankees. That is why when the other stuff adds up, why are you sitting Dominguez? Why is Volpe playing every day? And people want to, you know, yell at Yankee fans and go, trust the organization. They know more baseball than you've forgotten. This is why we don't trust the organization. And the way they've handled now three injuries on this team and basically being late to the party is quite frankly unacceptable. And I don't know whose fault it is, but it should piss you off if you're a Yankee fan.
More news from the Yankees.
Great.
This again, according to Brian Hoke. Jazz Chisholm Jr. is expected to be the everyday second baseman, which we know. Aaron Boone said that. Oswald Peraza is the third baseman tonight, and, quote, we'll see. Boone said there are no plans to play DJ LeMahieu at third base. Said, quote, physically, it's a challenge for him at this point. So physically, it's a challenge for DJ LeMahieu.
So, again, what Sean said is right. The DFA is coming.
Yep.
It's coming soon. And by the way, and so that means that Oswald Peraza is your everyday third baseman.
For now. Right? Yeah. Now they did sign Candelario, but again. Whatever. Right. I just think ultimately he's going to end up playing more every day.
And to that point with the DFA, this is from Chris Kirschner. Boone on how DJ LeMahieu took the news, quote, not great necessarily, but that's kind of the situation we're in right now.
I don't blame DJ LeMahieu as the competitor for not taking that great.
Of course.
This is probably not the way he wants his career to end and go out. DJ LeMahieu, look, with all due respect, what's happened the last couple of years getting older, that's happens, that's life. DJ LeMahieu was a good Yankee.
Yes, of course he was.
I don't have ill will towards DJ LeMahieu, the player or the person. He's just cooked.
You just can't keep running him out there,
right.
Though. Just is what it is. Defensively,
exactly.
He can't get to his right.
Exactly.
He can't.
And look, the Yankees are... I thought we're trying to accomplish something here, win a World Series, although I have my serious doubts with the way they've handled all this. You can't just give a guy a participation trophy because he's been a good veteran for you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, DJ LeMahieu, maybe it happens with the All-Star break here. It's time to say goodbye.
It sounds like it's happening.
It's time.
There is no plan to play him at third base. Jazz is an All-Star second baseman.
Yep.
Where is he playing?
It's over.
He's not playing the outfield. He's not DHing for you because you're already overloaded at the DH. He's not doing anything.
Yep.
He is dead weight on this team.
It's over for DJ LeMahieu, and that might be sad for some of the Yankee veterans, but again, it's enough. We need players here who could play and have flexibility and versatility.